Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It's always a pleasure to be able to welcome to our microphones to assess the state of the war for the free world. One of the most perspicacious and accomplished national security reporters of, I think, not only our time, but any time. He is Bill Gertz, the senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon, an invaluable online resource, as well as the prize-winning columnist of the Inside the Ring column at the Washington Times, the author of 7 best-selling books, including most recently, I War, War and Peace in the Information Age. Bill Gertz, good to have you back. Welcome.
Hi, Frank. Always good to be on the show.
We have had some big developments that you have been reporting on, notably out of North Korea since we last talked, Bill. Let's visit a little bit about what we now know about not only their missile program, but also their nuclear weapons program, and in particular, the threat that it may pose to us in the form of something called electromagnetic pulse, EMP.
Yes, the latest and sixth North Korean underground nuclear test was the largest to date, and the U.S. intelligence community is still assessing what type of explosive it was. The three options are that it was a thermonuclear hydrogen explosion, that is a very large blast. Another possibility is that it was some type of an electromagnetic pulse weapon. And then the third is that it was something called a boosted fission explosion. And of course, the eyebrows went up on a lot of people when the North Koreans announced on Sunday that they plan to use this new large nuclear weapon for EMP attacks. That is a burst in space that could severely damage or destroy electronics over wide areas. And then the following day, on Monday, the state-run Communist Party newspaper in Pyongyang reported by the dean of a technical university who elaborated on the EMP threat and called EMP an important strike weapon. This, again, as you may know, has been a subject of much debate. Many in the arms control community have downplayed this threat or even dismissed it. And a few people, like former CIA Director Jim Woolsey and Peter Pry and yourself and others, have been loudly saying, look, we've got to be prepared for this. And now the North Koreans have finally mentioned that they are planning this type of an attack.
Well, this is interesting to me, not only, as you say, because of our longtime concern of this problem and that of our colleagues in the Secure the Grid Coalition, which includes, in addition to Jim Woolsey and Peter Pry, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, the comments of Siegfried Hecker, who you may remember from his days as the director of the Los Alamos National Laboratory. Hank Cooper pointed out on our show yesterday, used to do important work for him, among others, when he was running the SDI program, to protect our assets against electromagnetic pulse. In this comments yesterday about this North Korean threat, he simply dismissed it, saying it was all just a function of alarmists from this country who were feeding into what's now a propaganda line there. What do you make of his remarks?
Well, it seems that a lot of people in the arms control community have, for some reason, dismiss this idea that our electrical grid is vulnerable. And it's amazing to me to see these kind of head-in-the-sand kind of comments from people like Hecker and others. Jeffrey Lewis is another one.
He's made kind of a career out of doing it. But Sig strikes me as a serious physicist, for God's sake. And this is just a matter of science, not, you know, political science.
The North Koreans are prone to propaganda, but they've also been doing what they say instead of just propaganda. And they've done that with their nuclear tests. If In fact, this was a hydrogen blast. It could be prepared for an EMP attack. And the reason that it's important is because most of the North Korean propaganda videos have shown simulated kinetic attacks, including videos on New York City and Washington in flames. So we know that that's their interest. But imagine if they did do a space-based EMP attack, which damaged and destroyed and caused havoc and chaos, it would also complicate our retaliation. There would be voices that would say, well, this is not a direct attack. And the allies would also say, is it worth starting a war over this? Anyway, obviously, it creates major complications for our deterrence credibility.
I fear at some level it may even preclude us from exercising that retaliatory action, even if the decision were clearly to be that we needed to do that. Let me ask you, speaking of space, Bill, to pivot to North Korea's prime sponsor, as you know and have documented in your columns, that being, of course, Communist China. You had a report this week about the extent to which China's efforts to militarize space by having very considerable capabilities, both in space and through it, to neutralize our own activities there. This is a serious and yawning national security challenge, it would appear. Is that right?
Yeah, this was a report that I wrote about in my Washington Times Inside the Ring column this week. And it's based on a new report on foreign space capabilities and the national security implications. And it, too, pointed out that our satellites are extremely vulnerable to that kind of an attack. Not just EMP, but other types of attacks like lasers and direct ascent missiles. And of course, adversaries like China and Russia and North Korea and Iran understand that this is a strategic vulnerability for the United States. And any future conflict, according to this report, is going to involve major attacks on our satellites and to shut down the communications, to shut down the precision guidance. So this is a really, really significant disclosure. And finally, at least this think tank is highlighting this growing threat.
It is a growing threat, and it's one that we all best be concerned about, especially if you believe, as I do, that we need missile defenses in space if we're going to deal with some of the emerging capabilities, not just of the North Koreans, or for that matter, just the Chinese, but the Russians, Iranians, and others as well. Let me quickly ask you about two issues that fall in the battle space you've written about in your new book, iWar: Russian Twitter bots and a Chinese malicious software called Sakula. What can you tell us about those?
This is an important story. NATO, for the first time, issued a recent report which highlights the fact that most Russian language tweets in Eastern Europe are automated and from automated bots, which the Russian government is controlling as part of its information warfare against NATO and against the West. And it was significant because it was one of the first times that they've actually come out and highlighted this growing threat, that the Russians are using all means possible, short of military conflict, or in the case of Ukraine, actual military conflict, to undermine support for NATO and to divide and try and conquer the NATO alliance. I would also point out I had a very significant story today in the Free Beacon, which involves Chinese hacking of a yacht owned by a billionaire dissident in New York. The FBI is investigating the fact that it appears that the Chinese were using electronic warfare means to disable a 152-foot yacht in New York Harbor and almost caused a collision between a natural gas tanker and this billionaire's boat. The billionaire is Guo Wengui, who has been outspoken in highlighting Chinese intelligence activities in the United States, and he believes firmly that Chinese intelligence was behind this cyber attack on his yacht. It took place in late July.
Man, and that would have been a liquefied natural gas tanker?
Yes.
That would have caused the equivalent of a small thermonuclear weapon.
Yes. Yeah. And it was right under the George Washington Bridge.
This is an extraordinary story, Bill Gertz. We're going to have you back to discuss it at much greater length next week. Thank you for all that you do, my friend, at the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times. Bill Gertz's reporting is not to be missed, folks. I hope you'll check it out. Bill, thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll talk with you next week. Next up, we will be speaking with Michael Del Rosso with a firsthand account of what happened in Charlottesville and what is happening in its aftermath. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.